so unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How
what's,
are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite people ever. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law in downtown DeQueen, licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. She can handle many of your legal needs, divorce, custody, land deeds, you name it. And if she can't perform the legal task you need, she will refer you to the best person for the job. Give her a call today at 870-642-4462 or stop by. She's on the north side of the courthouse, on the square in historic downtown DeQueen. Utilize her 20 plus years of experience and you will never look back. A huge thanks to all the support she gives us for sponsoring Regrettable. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law. Yes, sir. Regrettable Podcast. Boom. Episode, what is this? I think this might be episode 69. So I gotta throw that out there.
What up, 69?
Yes, sir. 69 it is. The heat is here. The heat is upon us, gentlemen. It's been in the 90s all week. It will continue to be in the 90s. I will continue to suffer.
You know, some people are like 90s. Blah. Who cares about 90s? Yeah. It's been 108 all week.
Yeah. You know, where are you listening? Exactly. Dubai.
Yeah. Hey, that desert heat is something different.
That's true.
I'm gonna say from personal experience. I went and visited you, Tyler, when you were living in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I landed in Phoenix Airport. Took a Uber up to Flagstaff.
It seems expensive.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was nice about this, it was not an Uber. It was some kind of just like a ride service.
Gotcha.
Like a local. It was like a mom and pop ride service. But what I really appreciated is when I got it all set up, they sent me an email. They said, would you like a Lexus, an Acura, or a Bentley to pick you up? And the Bentley came at a serious premium.
Yeah,
I said the Lexus, and sure enough, guy showed up.
Wow.
I'm not familiar with all of Lexus's models, but it's a very, very nice car.
Most of them are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then so it was like, I think about a two-hour trip from Phoenix to the top of the mountain, and by the end of the 2 hours, I was like, this guy is an absolute psycho. I'm just lucky that he didn't kill me and leave me on the side of the road. Turns out he was totally like, I don't know if he founded his own militia or if he was just like co-founder, but he was definitely this crazy white supremacist, just militant. And usually those guys drive like 1975 Chevy pickup trucks,
yeah.
You know, not Lexuses.
Yeah.
But in any
like
case,
those four-door heavy Buicks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've seen those gunmen.
Yeah, definitely.
One of those.
You can store a lot of guns in the trunk on one of those things.
Yeah. Well, you were going about the heat in Phoenix. You don't like the heat compared to here?
Oh, no, it was nothing. You guys had warned me on two different notes here, warned me that, it's really hot. This was in August. And, of course, in Arkansas, it's like 98 degrees. Humidity is 1,000,000%. I get to Phoenix airport, step outside. It's like 112 degrees. A breeze is blowing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I wish I brought a little jacket.
Yeah.
Because there is... You know, people say, it's a dry heat. Man, that makes such a huge difference, you know. But what you guys had told me, too, is like, hey, we are going to go camping in the desert for a few days. It does get a little cold at night. And I was like, yeah, right. So I brought no warm clothes. It dropped to, like, just above freezing every night. And I brought, like, a hammock. I was like a piece of meat hanging inside that hammock. Every night, I think we went camping four nights.
Yeah.
Every night, I ended up finding myself crawling inside one of the vehicles and just, like, huddling. You know, in the back of the vehicle, trying to stay warm.
Dang, I kind of felt that way when we were camping the last time you and I went camping with the other homie. I was
whose name can no longer be mentioned.
I know.
On his
is
premises.
That is it? Yeah, I was going to say, is he gone now? Or?
Yes, he's gone.
Oh, okay. But anyway, but it was rainy. It was, you know, it was kind of just, you know, miserable-esque. It was real cold. And my sleeping bag, I was perfect halfway through the night. And you know how long a camp night is if you're uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Every minute is like an hour.
So halfway through that, I'm like, ah. And then I wake up to my foot going through the sleeping bag. I'm like, ah, this is terrible. I'm not going to get up and like fix. So I just kind of rewrap, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then within 5 minutes later, you wake up to a cold foot or a cold butt cheek or a cold shoulder or a cold, you know, something is cold now because it's exposed because the zipper unzipped all the way up. And now it's just, you know, a bad blanket.
They need to put like locks on sleeping bag, you know, zippers or something because the thing, like,
from the inside.
Something because the sleeping bag is never the way you went to bed in it when you wake up.
True.
It's usually some twisted idea of madness.
That's
funny. You know,
yeah, it's a good point.
And whatever you stuffed in there with you as well. Yeah.
That was a good camping trip. That was more of like a survival trip as opposed to just like, you know, what most people think when they think of camping.
I left that day feeling more like a man.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a 102-degree fever, probably. And a cold that took you a few days to get over.
No, I just outmanned that as well. Yeah. So,
We like hiked way out into the Ouachita Mountains, found a nice ridge where, because we knew it was going to rain all weekend.
Yeah.
We found a nice ridge where at least we wouldn't get flooded out. You know, we were up on the high ground.
But the wind was nice.
Yeah, the wind was insane. I've never, ever heard.
It sounded like a helicopter crashed a couple times.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just like a constant 24-hour hurricane going in the valley next to us.
Exactly.
But it must have looked like a homeless camp just out in the middle of this national park because we had, like, of course, the hammocks and tents and tarps all over the place. I mean, it was Tarp City
out there. Yes, it was definitely Tarp City. But
we brought like our own 55-gallon barrel out there to like you know have a trash fire in.
But our third homeless fellow, he was definitely the most prepared of homeless folk.
But
that dude, but had least experience, so most prepared.
Yeah, he had gone camping like a couple times, but you know what he did? He went to Reddit that morning and made a I think on the r/camping or something, and he's like, I'm about to go camping in like 6 hours.
Right.
I have nothing. What should I get? What should I do?
Had hundreds of comments within hours.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I guess he listened to every one of them because he was like super. I was like going out there, you know, with the hope of like, I'm going to show y'all how to survive.
And you did
camp.
Show me. You showed me, bro.
Well, now he showed us all of them.
I was going to say.
Yeah. He was. He didn't get a drop of water on him or nothing, man. He had it. He did it.
He probably could have defended himself from bears with his camp.
Yeah.
We need a producer, man. I can't. I'm trying to pay attention. We got a new method, like trying to do a new method of recording right now, and I just can't. I'm trying to focus on what you guys are saying and also monitor these new levels and stuff, and I'm hating this board right now. This
it's
board is
low,
my enemy.
It
looks low.
I'm doing that purposefully.
He's purposeful.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I can boost it by about 3 decibels, okay, before I put on my equalizer, my compressor.
Nobody cares
and everything
about
else. Yeah, no, exactly. A little reverb.
Yeah.
Does that make it sound like we're in
I want to sound like T-Pain.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a little auto-tune maybe.
I was going to say, we brought some of, you brought some of Mountain Fort Brewery's bourbon out there.
And my father-in-law's deer jerky.
Oh, yeah, the deer jerky.
Dude, you could live off of Mountain Fort Brewery's bourbon and my father-in-law's deer jerky. We did.
Yeah.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, but a big old, I don't know if it was like a gallon or what, 1.5-liter jug of it, but man, it did not make it through the first. I think we had a couple of shots the next morning for breakfast, but for the most part, that stuff was so good, man. It did not make it through the night.
I brought a couple flasks, split the flasks between me and the other fellow, and you had your canteen, so I put the rest in that canteen. And that canteen was impressive. It took the entire bottle.
It did.
Which was Mountain Fork Brewery, Hochtown Distilling, sorry. Hochtown Distilling Company's bourbon. They have 3 different types, but all same bottle. So just for the record, that was pretty slick how your canteen took the entire bottle, with the exception of a couple of
flasks. Well, I know two of them. Is the third one? Is that a recent introduction?
Yeah,
or?
Matter of fact, it's got 124 proof.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken, but yeah, it's
dangerous.
It's good stuff. I'll give you all the details here very shortly.
Yeah, but that's what we survived on. That and I think mushroom rice. or something that night. Yeah.
It was good though. Oh man, I was enjoying all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, it's when you go camping, especially in a situation like that where you're not sure if you're going to survive the end of it. every morsel that you get, doesn't matter what you're eating, it just tastes like a feast.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
We've been talking about doing a camp, you know, like coming up, but I think I need to gear up to do the survival camping. Like, I really want to go glamping. Just one, and glamping is not like how other people do it. Like, some people bring the RV and stuff. That's definitely glamping.
Yeah,
glamorous.
If you
camping.
Have ice with yeah. you, you're glamping.
I want to bring a cooler.
Yeah.
No, that's glamping.
There's nothing wrong with glamping. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so there's this place that I've been dreaming about, White Mines. It's this dirty little tiny road that's super messed up that you have to go all the way down and get to the point. And sometimes you get down to the bottom and it's like one. It's really two campsites, but that'd be
it's
like
first come first serve. Though, yeah, really.
Like, if you camp twice with two different campsites down there, it'd be like somebody coming into like an empty movie theater and sitting right next to you.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Why would you do this, you know?
Like, y'all better be married yeah. if you're going to be camping next to each other
exactly.
in this place.
So sometimes you might travel all the way down this road just to get in there and see somebody there.
Yeah.
Right? You have to kind of lock it down.
There was one time we went, and there was a guy out there. He had, like, a bunch of dogs chained up to the, like, they have a bench that's just, like, concreted into the ground to make sure nobody steals it.
Yeah.
But he had, like, a bunch of dogs, and he had a... I remember he had a propane tank with a like a nozzle attached to a line attached to the propane tank, and he just had it like fed into the fire.
Yeah,
that's how he was keeping his fire going, is by just pumping propane gas into this camping fire. And we talked to him for a second, and we were like, "Well, I guess we're gonna go find a different camp spot." He's like, "What? Well, you know, y'all ain't gonna camp down." It's the most kind of like boom. Boomhauer would seem like a city, like seem like city folk to this guy.
Yeah.
You know,
we were like,
and he
we're
was
good.
So sad that we left, and we're like, this guy brought like fighting dogs down here. He's got a propane tank sitting right next to a campfire.
Yeah.
We ain't going
But it's this perfect circle, man. It's just perfect. You go down there, you set up, you're literally a 1 minute walk from the river. One of the first times me and Patrick went camping when I moved here, remember we went and it was like night swimming. We went like swimming five different times or something, like throughout. We got there like during the day, we swam, then like went and ate and swam, and then this, and then swam, and then like the midnight one was awesome, because we were sitting, there's like it's right after some very very mellow rapids or whatever you want to call it, like rocks cascading water,
right,
and there was like seats. Remember, there was like rock seats that you could get in, and like the water would rush kind of like very nicely,
like being a
over
jacuzzi
you. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so that's where I want to go, because it's just, there's amenities for sure. It's glamping for sure, but you can still rough it a little bit.
Yeah,
chop your own wood, cook your own steak, go down there, get in the river. Mm. Oh, nice. Man, it's too good.
Nice,
you know, and probably one of the craziest camps I ever did was with you and our buddy. We hiked about an hour right into the Khastat, and then we found that sandbar, you know, along the Khastat River, which is just beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember I was covered in ticks. Do you remember? I wore like tick armor.
Yeah.
I was like, I got my tick armor.
They're
know?
Still all over you.
They were all over
they
me.
They weren't biting down.
No.
Yeah. They were just like looking for the one spot that your weak link, like you know how like Smaug the dragon had that one scale that was missing.
Yeah,
they were looking for that.
I was looking for that. My soft underbelly.
It's for my Lord of the Ring nerds.
Yeah. And finally, we sat down and I took that flannel off. I was just dying in that flannel. I was like, it's part of the tick armor, and like took the flannel off and threw it down. And like, I remember picking like 100 ticks off of it, and even then, it was still full of them. I think I just like, you know, burned it or something. I was just like, this thing is compromised.
Wow, that's if you're not familiar with the area, the Khastat River, the Khastat River State Park they have, man, what a diamond in the rough we have around here, and so many great camping experiences I've had there. Once we went the from the south to north end, which is what most people do. One time, a friend and I, we did the north to south route, and there are no good camping spots along the way. And also, the state park, you have to camp in designated areas. We don't believe in that, you know. We'll camp where we want, and we found a nice sandy spot from the north to south route, but it was across the river, and the river was so full. We ended up having, like, the side we were on was just nothing but cliffs, and it was right, I mean, there was nowhere to camp that was any distance from the trail, and we didn't want to be right on the trail in case, you know, park ranger or game warden or something came down and find us for camping off the outside of a designated area. So we were like, all right, we got to get down there. We climbed. It was the closest thing to mountain climbing I've ever done, is just climbing down a sheer 200-foot cliff and cross the river with our packs over our heads, you know, to keep them dry. And we found this little spot. It was just big enough. We did not have tents. We were just kind of sleeping out in the open, just big enough to kind of set a couple of sleeping bags and have a campfire. And I remember, of course, our hiking boots are all wet at this point. So we've got them close to the fire. And I remember telling my buddy, like, wouldn't it suck to, like, burn up your hiking shoes and have to hike out of here with, like, no shoes? And we were, like, laughing at that.
Did you knock on a
tree? No. I failed to. So I found a little later that night that one of, like, my left foot hiking boot had burned the whole sole away. Like, you know, like a standard hobo shoe where it's, like, cut in half and all the, like, half the foot and the toes are all sticking out.
Yeah.
That's what I had left. And I literally had to climb back up the cliff and then hike, I don't know, like 3 or 4 miles out of there.
Did you, like, repair it up?
I had some duct tape, I did the best I could.
See, we're glamping.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you bring duct tape.
It wasn't even duct, it was Gorilla tape.
Whoa.
All right, yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty glamping. But the most memorable experience of that, though, was, like, climbing up this sheer cliff wall, just we didn't have no ropes or anything. We're just doing our best trying to get up this thing. I put my hand on something that I realized immediately was a snake.
Oh.
And it was, like, right on, like, a little cliff edge. And when I peeked up, like, I touched it, and then whatever it was, like a shot out from under my hand. And when I got up and took a look, it was a rattlesnake, a big old timber rattler.
Just staring at you.
Yes. And you know, he didn't bite me. He didn't do nothing. And my buddy was telling me on the way in, this is a guy I've gone camping with a lot and stuff. And we were just talking about, like, you know, if you're good to nature, nature's good to you. And I've never had a situation where that was more true, you know, than that experience. Cause we were talking, the whole trip was like, man, we got to find a camping spot. I know that we're not supposed to, but it's like, we're the type of people, you're going to not see a single trace. You know, we're going to kick the fire pit. We're gonna put sand over it. You're not even gonna see the fire pit after we're done with it, you know.
Yeah.
And sure enough, on that way, touch that rattlesnake. He didn't bite me. That was a perfect example. Like, man, you go out there, you take care of nature. Nature's gonna take, you know, it's gonna do its best not to kill you.
Call it bush karma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bush karma. Yeah. I remember one time we were on our way camping and we helped a rattlesnake along the road. It was on the road, you know, just sunbathing or whatever. And we're like, get out of here. You know, you were poking it, trying to get it off, and, you know, let's hope that staves off all the snakes from coming into our campsite.
Yeah, he talks to his buddies, you know. He's like, man, them two guys are pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
You know, yeah, don't bite them.
We didn't come at them with the E-tool.
Yeah.
We didn't just try and be like, oh, snake, you know, and run over it with the Land Rover or anything like that. Help it off the road.
Right.
Yeah, do the right thing.
That's right. Well, I'm very excited. This is exactly the bad time of year for me. But still enjoy it. That's right. Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. Driving, the wife and I took a back road because there's some construction in the big city north of where I live.
Yeah.
And so it was an hour to get from the town I live to the end of the big city north of where I live.
Which is generally a 10-minute trip, right?
10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It took an hour.
Whoa.
Because of that construction may be going on for however long.
On the little bridges?
No, they're doing some widening and traffic lights.
About time.
Yeah, buddy.
Or I don't know about them traffic lights.
Yeah, they're needed for sure. Okay. So. Right. But, yeah, so if you're heading north of Broken Bow, where I live, to Hochtown or Beavers Bend State Park or even Broken Bow Lake, which are, you know, cabins all over there, you may want to give yourself some extra time.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Okay. Man. Yeah, just when we go camping, I need to be near a water source so I can get back in my natural environment like a whale. Yeah. You know, just slip back in there. And
this is this time of year, that's the thing. You got to be in one of two places, either in air conditioning or in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no in between.
No in between. I mean, it's not even halfway through May, and we are literally at summer temperatures right now, talking about beating 100-year records in our county right now. So
dang.
It's hot. It's hot, yeah. It's yeah, not. But and we haven't even had the time to acclimate it. We literally did not have an 80-degree day. We went from 75-degree averages to now it's 91 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's some acclimation that needs to that we just didn't get.
It's taken a toll. Like, I do all my riding outside. It's the only place I feel like I can ride. I got a camping chair set up. I'm laid back, lounging, comfortable. Not really comfortable. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm you know, just champing it, Ramboing it, like, just sitting there sweating my balls off, writing, though, doing good. And then eventually that's when the skeeters come out, like, little in the evening.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, okay, so I have a choice now. Either sweat with skeeters or throw on a sweatshirt and some sweatpants and sweat more, but no skeeters. So yeah. I decided for the sweat more. And I got one of the best writing, little times in a session.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm excited. I wanted to do it yesterday, but yesterday I just wasn't feeling right, man. I had the big lunch yesterday, and it just messed my whole day up. Oh. I must have diabetes or something. I don't know what that is.
I figured something serious was going on because Tyler came to our house last night to set up a computer that he put together for my wife. She just got one of these Cricut machines that's it's like a 3D printer, but 2D.
I don't understand. It looks like you feed a brick through the thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's magic to me.
Yeah.
You know, she just like is making stuff left and right with it, whatever. But you brought a very nice computer over last night for her to hook this thing up to, because it's a greedy little machine, and it needs some good computer action to make it work. I sound like I'm 80 years old here. Like,
computer action.
It needs a good machine.
Yeah. That thing needs to pute, all right?
Yeah.
All pewters need to pute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't worth its cum if it ain't pewting.
Yeah, exactly.
But where was I going with? Oh, yeah. I was barbecuing up some, I had a whole rack of ribs. Ooh. I was barbecuing up. I had baked potatoes. I made you one. I just went ahead and put one on the grill. I got to eat it.
Nice.
I ate two baked potatoes last night. And I had, all kinds of stuff on the grill. And Tyler's like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do it. So.
I can't do it. Yesterday I had like a TJ's meal.
Oh.
And
the same meal I had.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me, man. Like, if I eat light, I'm totally cool. But I ate, you know, that was like a dinner at noon.
Yeah.
You know, it was a huge hunk of meatloaf and big dollop of mashed potatoes.
I don't know what you did afterwards, but I mean, between like the little bit of free time I get when the baby's, because I pick the baby up like about 1 o'clock in the afternoon generally. She usually sleeps a little bit, and I use that, man. I'm like rushing. I'm like running through the house to get things done and go outside because I got the lawn and I got the garden. I got stuff I got to do outside. Like, I do not sit down until my wife comes home at like 4:30, you know, which is, I guess, about the time that you came over. Like, I was burning calories the whole time.
Yeah,
you know, so by the time that full rack of ribs was done,
ooh,
I was starving.
Right.
I was absolutely starving.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, probably just need to burn calories with it or something like that. Like, I ate the meal and I continued working here for a while, and I went home and, you know, hopped on my computer for a bit, and just by the time was flying by, and by the time I was coming over, it's not like I was feeling bad, but I definitely was not hungry, and I was just, you know, low energy.
Yeah, get your heart rate up for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
something.
Doing anything. Yeah.
I was out there cutting weight just from sweating constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Not that I did nothing physically exerting yesterday. It was just being out in this heat, man, you're going to sweat.
Yeah.
You say that, but people don't realize how much walking and bending over is truly physically exerting.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe like get some 30 minutes of activity, and also I can't eat a dinner at 12. I shouldn't eat, because I'm telling you, you burned it off, but that meatloaf was massive.
Yeah,
it was like this big.
Oh, nice.
I mean,
it was like a football.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was like dense too. Like, the fork and knife wouldn't cut it. I was just tearing pieces off and eating it. Yeah, but what I did yesterday for a while is I texted my landlord. New house opening up. Went rolled by and checked it out yesterday. Little 3-bedroom piece. Out a little more private.
Okay.
Slightly more expensive, but
slightly
totally
more expensive.
Within your means,
yeah,
right?
You absolutely.
Were saying. Wow.
Absolutely. So looking at that, mid June is when I'd be able to get into there.
Wow.
I'm excited for you because you live in a 2-bedroom apartment right now, but to go from a 2-bedroom apartment to a 3 bedroom house, and this is a nice neighborhood. It's going to be a newer home, you know.
Nice.
Probably built within the last 20 or 30 years or something. And
big man, yard.
I have never been a single man and lived in a place with three. I've only ever been a roommate or married to my wife,
right?
You know, or living with my parents. So,
right.
I can't, like, I'm just excited for you, because if I was a single man, okay, I'd have my bedroom. I would easily fill up a second room. The third room would just be whatever space. I wanted.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
It would just be pure imagination.
Absolutely. I don't know what to do with it yet, but I still feel like I could use the space in some way or another, you know. right now, the studio room, the room that I would designate for a studio, is also like slash storage. So it's probably what it's going to end up being. I can really dive in. The place right now, as much as I like my little apartment, it just, it almost feels sterile, like a hospital. Like, whenever I try and decorate, it doesn't look good. Like, there's just stuff about
it.
The tile. The it weird off, like, off-white walls and stuff. I don't like it.
And it's, like, brand new.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it's, like, it's just too... Yeah, like you said, sterile.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like an aliens version of what they think we live in.
Exactly.
You know,
definitely feels like a doctor's office. I wonder.
Yes.
Why.
Yeah. It feels like a waiting room.
I wonder why. Yeah, good point.
Good point. So now a home that wasn't built by the doctor.
Doctor. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm pretty stoked about that. The yard. You know, I'm still up in the air about what to do. There's a local guy that my landlord hires to mow the lawns, and he's asking a very reasonable price.
Okay.
Either I pay that or I buy a push mower.
While you're still solo,
yeah.
I would totally pay that.
I'm thinking about just paying it, but also I could man up. Like,
you could.
I could push mow, but like, that's a big yard to push mow.
It's a big yard. You were showing me pictures of it. It's a big yard, and everybody on that block's got riding lawn. This is Southwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
Everybody, they might have the crappiest vehicle parked in front of their driveway. They're not sure if it's going to get them to work the next morning, but you know what? They got a brand new Bad Boy or X-Mark or Husky or something. Come on now. Come on. We're talking quality here. Yeah.
They got the steering wheel.
That's true.
Yeah. Get out of here.
But no, for like a, you know, for a 12-pack, I'd come over and zip around on my zero turn and make a quick lawnmower into that.
Yeah.
If I had a trailer, I would bring my riding lawnmower over to your place every 2 weeks.
Definitely pay
me.
So just add a little bit more to the what I'm already going to be paying more, you know. But it's nice to have maybe the same landlord so I could just switch all that over.
That's like insurance with a more expensive car. People don't often think about what comes with. Yes, you're only going to pay like $200 or $300 more a month for this nice three-bedroom house that comes with a quarter acre of property or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But people don't realize you leave a duplex or an apartment with no outside facilities that you have to facilitate whatsoever to a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're thinking of your own gas, your own lawnmower, your own
weed
eater, more time.
It's those hidden costs nobody thinks about. You know, I was reading a story the other day that says, you know, we're confiscating these super or these mega yachts from all these Russian oligarchs left and right. I mean, I don't know how many...
The Russian
mega
elite.
Yachts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we've confiscated from Russia in the last couple of months. But there was one in particular that was owned by some buddy of Roman Abramov's. Very nice. I mean, this is like a, you know, a billion-dollar yacht. I mean, this is nice. What this yacht costs is more than the GDP of most countries in existence.
Yeah.
Wow. It's going to cost the United States $30 million. A year just to keep this thing in port.
Right.
Stupid. Yes. That's just stupid. From all
it's
the stupid costs.
Crew,
yeah.
Like, you know, crew goes with it, right? Like, you need a crew on a yacht.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to sink eventually. Yeah. It's like a house or a car. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
You know?
Elon Musk needs a yacht, right?
Yeah. Can
sell
he buy
it
that?
For house price, half price.
I know. But that's just, I feel like if more taxpayers knew, like, we're about to spend $30 million a year to maintain one yacht at port, that people would be like, just let Russia take Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even care no more. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It ain't worth it.
Although, is it really $30 million a year? That's like...
Yeah.
They piss that away these days.
Exactly. I don't know, but you multiply that by a bunch, and that's profit.
Yeah. I'm paying $1 billion a year for all these Russian yachts.
Yeah.
And can't use one?
Can't even use it? It's not even American? Like, yeah, you just walk on it. Like, hey, man, my taxes paid for this.
I know. I mean, yacht. At least a couple of rivets on that thing belong to me at this point. But if I was to go walk up there and try to spend a night, a Delta Force would shoot me.
Yeah, exactly.
Two in the chest and one in the head for me.
Double tap.
Yeah. But with the podcast, you know, thinking about changing it over to a video element as mm-hmm. well and whatnot, and setting up a set and all that might be easier. Maybe that's, you know, it's going to spark a little life, a little creativity into the podcast and make that the place, the premier place to record this thing so I can also record this thing right. I'm sick of this nonsense right here. I'm
like, it's on my way home. Like right now where you live, I have to go out of my way to get to it.
You do.
By 20 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to lose a couple minutes of getting to the station quickly from this place. But worth it. Totally worth it.
That's some of that small town life. That's why what keeps me here is the fact that, you know, I know people that their daily commute, now they live in Dallas or Oklahoma City or places, their daily commute is, it takes them like an hour to get to work on a good day.
Yeah. Right.
You know, for me, like I start to get frustrated when it takes me more than 30 seconds to make a left turn on the big street here in town.
Listen, man, I'm like, hey, man, it's going to be longer ride to work. I'm moving 2 minutes further away.
Yeah.
It's considered.
And that's only if you don't California stop through the stop signs along the way.
And that's double what I'm driving right now. Yeah. So it's significant, okay?
Yeah.
But like on a, if you really had to get here in a hurry, what?
45 seconds.
45 seconds? I would have half that. Yeah.
No way. Not my place. Not when you, but that's blowing through stop signs and the lights are green, you know? And I'm, like, parking out front there. I've done it.
That's fine.
I've done it. To have, like, a game all hard-timed or something like that. Nobody's going to make it or whatever it is. I've got
less
here.
Than a minute. You
less
can
than
here.
A minute, for sure.
I had an employee once text me, here's your 30-minute warning. I quit.
Yeah, nice. I've had one text me while the intro to a game was firing. Do you think you could cover this one for me?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
5 minutes maybe even before I could have been like, I'll make it work.
Exactly.
But, you know, that was like, okay.
I'll cover you for the game, but you better find somebody else to cover your like rent and your gas and your food bill and everything else because you ain't working here no more.
Too bad she lived with her parents. Parent. Very weird. Very weird.
Was
family.
She the one with the mini skirt?
Yeah.
Always. I mean, I've never seen a mini skirt so mini.
Yeah.
As what? But she also looked like she or she had two things that she did in life. She worked up here a couple of hours a week and then played Fortnite the rest of the time.
Yeah. And very weird situation. I remember when I had to go to her house to pick up some COVID paperwork of some kind to be able to, it was something or other.
Yeah, she got COVID like half a dozen times while she worked here, right?
Yeah. So I walk up there and get up to the house and there's Post-it notes on everything.
You went inside the home?
No. This is outside the home.
No way. So you didn't even see the inside.
What does it say?
No. So the first thing I noticed was a strip of tape, like blue tape on the sidewalk that says, do not cross this unless you're meant to or something like that. And then there was like a sticky note on the garbage can that said, this is for garbage. Like, you know, don't take it, essentially. There was like a sticky note on the mailbox, like instructions for whoever needed to go to that house, instructions on what and what not to do.
Oh, right.
And this and that. And
I bet if you had gone inside and been like, oh, hey, welcome, Tyler. This is our home. Here's your tinfoil hat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Please wear this the entire tour.
Come to the basement.
The second time I met that person in my life, they accosted me at Walmart and told me that they were about to start doing voiceover work and wanted some hints.
Oh. Mm. For you, for here or for like some
national
else?
Online work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What did you gauge your voice as?
not.
Yeah. Find another job.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But
keep sending your resumes.
No,
out.
But they got like within 6 inches of my face.
Oh, you're not a fan of that, are you?
I'm not a super fan of that at all.
You don't
all.
Like close talking.
Don't. Yeah.
Don't close talk.
There's only one person I literally accept that from because I feel like I have to, and that's my father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
He close talks everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm used to it.
Right.
But I know somebody who was telling me the other day how much they dislike close talkers as they were close talking to me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really?
And I don't know. Maybe that close talking is in the eye of the beholder. You know, some people it's going to be different than others. But this guy was adamant. He was not doing it as like a point to be like, this is what I hate.
Right.
He was like just in my face telling me how much he dislikes the very thing he was doing to me at that moment.
Yeah.
Not out of irony or humor or anything. Yeah. Again, that's just.
In reality, you should not be able to touch my face if you're talking to it.
Yeah. In one step. Right.
Period.
Like
I don't want to. Yeah. Don't be able to reach out.
This is a healthy. About a meter, yard apart.
In reality, if we stood shoulder to shoulder and stuck our hands out, we would not touch.
That, yeah. Absolutely.
So not shoulder to shoulder, but if we squared off and stuck our hands out, we wouldn't touch. That is an acceptable length.
Yeah.
Away from me.
That's the one thing from COVID. Hopefully, we adopt and continue with.
Yeah.
Is the old 6 feet away.
I don't care about your COVID. I don't care about your shots. I don't care about your mask.
No.
Just don't get in my hula hoop.
Yeah,
homie.
Yeah, yeah. And the hula hoop has gotten bigger, thankfully.
Yeah,
so
thankfully.
Now get off me. Like I had so many times still in the line at Easy Mart. I'm like, get off of my ass, dude.
Exactly. Yeah.
Holy cow.
You feel your neck hairs tingling a little bit from the breath?
If I can bend over naturally without moving my feet and my butt hit you, you are too close,
you
dude.
You are too close.
You are
to
way
me.
Freaking too close. And I want to curse, but I'm not going to. No.
Oh.
But seriously, though, you're way freaking too close.
I'm not cussing either.
Good.
And it's not that. Okay. It's not that we're not.
It's not that we're.
Yeah.
We can't.
Nobody has said a single thing to us. I think we're just adults. And
we're
you know,
capable.
We get a little better every episode.
Perfectly.
I got nothing to cuss about.
We've gotten
today.
Worse.
Yeah, we have.
But I see a lot of bees here recently. So, you know, I'm not going to fault you, Tyler, for your bad attitude towards bees.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never use those words.
I don't judge you.
I use diplomacy still.
All right.
Say, like insurrection against the bees, not F the bees.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Take the beehive down from the inside.
That's fine.
Not crush it on the outside.
Yeah.
You know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about this. This is not an MMA podcast. I'm not knowledgeable enough to talk about this type of stuff at serious length or detail. But this last fight card that we enjoyed over at Jay Lindley's house, very fun time, by the way.
That was
always
fun.
A good time over at the Lindley residence.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Yeah. Perfect place for the type of fight night, you know, that I look for.
Shout out to Jen and Kyle, who also came.
Yep. Shout out to Laura, who hosted the thing like
on.
A champ. We ended up like we almost didn't even buy the pay-per-view.
Shout out to my sister-in-law who kind of makes me feel like a casual when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball and MMA, she knows all about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And cigars.
Yeah, and cigars. Broke out the cigar.
Yep, that's right. But just want to talk about the main event. Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje was super excited for this one. The day before, champ misses weight. I just think it's kind of crazy, you know? So
And you and I kind of disagree on this.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And we do agree ultimately.
Yes,
like, I think the whole thing is wrong on him. There's nothing else anybody can do about it. I'm just sad about
it. But it's also, you also feel it's kind of wrong overall.
Yeah. Like, I could almost see a rules change because of that type of thing.
Because it's accepted in all the other options, and we're talking about half a pound overweight is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's accepted in every other fight that night, I could also accept that in a championship bout.
I can too.
It's got to be a little margin of error, right?
But with that being said, I'm still going to err on the side of this is a champion who knows what is expected of him that day he steps on those scales.
Imagine how worse it would be, like how much worse you would feel if you missed weight the other way, because it's 155. You can't weigh 145 and a half.
I'm going to have to look at the facts on that, because you can't weigh a half a pound under either.
Not either way.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you cut too much weight, now you're going to have to like drink water until you're perfect, which isn't that hard. It's a lot easier,
you know,
but
this is just a perfect example. When you over-commercialize something, what they're doing here is splitting hairs. Because how many divisions are there? It's a ridiculous amount.
It's a bunch,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, bantam, featherweight, heavy. I mean,
bantam, feather, light, welter, middle, light, heavy. Heavy, is that all of them?
Half of those
flyweight
shouldn't exist, right? I mean, there should. Am I wrong in thinking that they're splitting hairs way too much in this?
The more divisions, the better.
Yeah, for money, absolutely.
No,
for profit.
No, for the fighters.
I mean, really?
Yeah, because you have to weigh it, whatever your natural weight is. If you weigh 160, like, then you're going to be a 155 pounder. Otherwise, if you can't cut down to 155 and drop 5 pounds, you have to go up to 170. So there should be a 165. There should be one. There should be weight divisions.
You can't have a 10, 15 pound margin of error on these things and still have good fights come out of it.
No, because people are able to cut up like 40 pounds. You have Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he fights at heavyweight right now. He fought at welterweight at one point. So he weighs like 235, 240. He had to cut down to 170 at one point, and he was able to do that. You know, like, that's not fair. So when you open up and give more weight divisions, there are more options for people to stay near their natural weight. What you got?
Okay, so I'm just reading. This says, when it comes to non-title fights, UFC fighters are not allowed to miss weight by more than 1 pound.
Either way.
So I was surprised. If a title is on the line, then both fighters must be on point and not miss by more than a half a pound.
Yeah. Either way, because they justify it by saying you are the champion of 155, not 145, not 154 and a half, not 155 and a half. And, you know, I don't 100% exactly, like, get the idea why more weight divisions would bring in more money. I mean, you know, I mean,
yeah, it's more chances, more fights they get to present.
Yeah, yeah, more champions,
more sponsors, more championships, more advertising, but more events.
The pool of fighters stays the same.
Sure,
and
they just get to make a bigger deal out of each one, right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, again, a pay per view is a pay per view. They have them once a month, you know. And if there's more divisions, then it promotes more hype for sure. But at the same time, the pool of fighters is the same. Everybody who's good enough to be in the UFC right now is in the UFC right now, except for those few guys that are like looking to get in. So if you create more weight divisions, they're going to be able to fight. It's going to be fairer. They're going to be able to fight more naturally at their natural weight, and also it will free up other divisions too. Like, the lightweight division is deep, man. It's really deep how many fighters, and some of those fighters could easily, if they opened up a 165 division, some of those fighters could easily move to that, become the champion of that, and then that creates more room for the guys in 155 to get to where they want to be. You know, I think it makes sense.
I guess there's a fight for everybody. There was one MMA fighter who I recently hit on his mom in front of him.
Yeah.
Not accidentally, I guess, but his mom's real cute. But what weight would he be put in?
I think he fights a flyweight or a bantamweight. Okay. But I imagine flyweight.
Because he's a very small guy.
He's very small.
So, yes, you can't have that guy.
Actually, he's a bantamweight, so he's 135-er. So, which means that big dudes can also get into, like, I watched a fight of his, who we're talking about, Alberto Trujillo. Yeah, I watched a fight of his, the last one he fought.
LAF.
And I have extreme respect for him. I just wanted to mention at some point that I did hit on an MMA fighter's mom while he was
nice.
Around.
You did.
So, yeah, how many people get to do that?
Under bated breath. And
yeah. Loud enough for him to hear. He was right there.
Yeah. But the last guy he fought was like 5 or 6 inches taller than him. You know, like, that's a serious advantage, you know. I didn't want to make this
taller, lankier dude.
Taller, lankier dude, you know, and he was able to beat him, you know. But, you know, size is an inherent advantage. And the more weight divisions that you might have, the more naturally somebody can fit into those. And, by the way, there's only one country that made this all happen, and that's the United States. The only sport in which people were doing crazy major weight cutting was wrestling.
Yeah.
So wrestlers had an inherent advantage as well. Wrestlers, they've been doing it since they were like freaking 12, cutting weight to make a fight. So by the time MMA was around and the whole world was included, you had Brazilian guys and guys from the UK, guys from Russia who are not used to cutting weight. Well, Russians are actually close to it as well. They're good at cutting weight as well. But you had people who were good at it and people who were bad at it. Michael Bisping is a classic example. He fought at 205 to begin with because he knew nothing about cutting weight because he's like a natural one. You know, he weighs like 210 or something, maybe even 200. He used to have to eat to make that 205 weight until he started fighting.
Right.
In America and in the UFC, and he had to learn how to cut weight so that he had an advantage because he was fighting people that were way bigger that knew how to cut weight down while he's just fighting at his natural weight. So he started cutting down to 185, and that was a big process. That was a big step for him. He used to make weight. He used to eat. He'd talk about how he would eat Chinese buffet the day before to make weight.
Yeah. For UFC, you can come up to 5 pounds below the weight limit for both a title and a regular fight.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. According to these two options. Believe me, I've been looking for a while now. So with multiple searches, you could not find underweight. Now, overweight, there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
But
I've heard like a couple guys talk about it, but they could be wrong too.
But
I was looking at this, hiccuping and coughing at the same time is quite the spike on meter.
Stop
there.
Doing
Sorry.
That. Yeah.
I'm just gonna take a quick aside here for a perspective from somebody. I'm not even a casual when it comes to UFC. Right. I'm like totally ignorant, but when you're talking about two guys entering the octagon and just demonstrating absolute raw power and skill, then when you start to like just inundated with all the technical aspects, is how I feel about it.
Sure.
That's definitely casual.
Yeah.
And that's
That's like beyond casual. That's like, you know, because casuals can still be like, oh man, that was
a
great
little
hook,
something. I got none of that.
Yeah.
Nothing of that.
It's the same thing with boxing or anything else. I mean, you start watching boxing for any more than just two guys throwing punches at each other until one is rendered, you know, unconscious. You start looking any past that, then you start seeing how technical it is, all the different names for the strikes, stances, what they're doing, how they're doing, how they're breathing, taking rounds off, this type of thing. You know, so I understand it's not interesting to you.
Right.
That's why I didn't want to make it into this. I have to talk about it. This is the first time in history that a champ had missed weight. He lost the title. It's
really?
Totally vacated. He That's won great. The fight in like a minute and 20 seconds. He beat him handily, you know, and like, and now he's got to fight for the title again.
He's got to go back and do it all over again.
Yeah. Well, he's, and nobody will get the title shot before him.
It just
he
doesn't
will be the
seem
first.
Fair.
So
to
when,
it doesn't.
So he,
for
when
a half
he,
pound.
When he, yeah, I know, right?
For like, what? So double cheeseburger?
Maybe, maybe different sorts of penalties, but the title off the line is crazy. You know, okay, you give up 20. He did it all. He gave up the title. He gave up 20% of his purse. He gave up some percentage of the pay-per-view sales. He lost like $1 million just by missing weight by half a pound, you know, like in total, like of everything and combined, you know. And at the end of the day, his mess up, he's also missed weight 5 times before in his career.
Yeah.
Between
so
two
he
different
should
weight
go
divisions.
On. He should just go ahead and move on up.
Yeah, yeah.
To some welterweight and
I'm not sure he's big enough for a welter. That's the problem, is that like all the divisions, you're like, okay, yeah, he could fight at that. No, he doesn't, because he cuts weight to fight down there. You got 210 guys fighting at like welterweight because they can cut 40 pounds.
Yeah,
you know,
but if he can't cut enough to get there, then obviously the next move is going up in weight.
Could you imagine?
Because he walks around obviously way above lightweight status.
Yeah. Could you imagine though, like Charles Oliveira fighting Khamzat Chimaev, is like 6'3", probably walks around a little over 200 pounds, you know, like that would be crazy, you know?
True.
That would look like two completely different weight classes. So it's weird. I think they should just get rid of it. They should probably like other...
Get rid of what?
Like weight cutting, crazy weight cutting. They do the IV tests and stuff and other fight promotions.
Oh, really?
And they stop you from cutting too much weight. Like,
I've
up
seen
to 20
get...
pounds, I suppose, is fine, but maybe even shorten that down to 10. You can measure it by their hydration level and stuff, because it's unsafe.
Yeah.
The only
You're starting to dehydrate organs at that point, guys.
Not to mention, we probably see these guys fight at a better... They would be...
Totally.
They would have better...
Stamina,
skills, and
stamina.
If they fought without having to cut 30 pounds the day before, you know, like you're just exhausted.
Is it just because they're afraid to fight in the weight division
they're
really meant to be
either,
in?
Either that, or they'll have to eat like a slob to get to that weight division.
So do we need more divisions?
Yes, that's what I've been saying. Yeah, yeah. Like one more would be great. 165. Dana says it's never going to happen, but there's been a lot of people clamoring for it. 165 would be a fine weight division.
So you got 155 to 165,
then 170.
70.
Yeah. So I know that's only a 5 pound difference, but there's other ones like that too.
You said there's some conspiracy theories floating around that maybe
there are.
Scales is that
what's
gone anywhere?
170 is welterweight.
170. What's light heavyweight then?
Light heavyweight is 205.
So what? Oh, middleweight. What? Sorry, what's middleweight?
185.
185. So yeah. You go from 185. So you got 20 pounds from mm-hmm. middleweight to light heavyweight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like some of those dudes fighting a middleweight could definitely fight a light heavyweight.
Right.
And maybe
totally.
Be more comfortable. Maybe,
and,
you know.
And the bigger the guy, the easier to move weight as
100%.
Well.
100%. Yeah. That's You're why right. Rumble You're Johnson right. is able to cut 40 pounds.
Because it's then, all right here.
Yeah, exactly. for like welterweight. And then
he looks like a string bean with just massive arms
yeah,
stuck
exactly.
to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very weird and it's tough.
And a big old head.
And he lost those fights.
I love you, Rumble.
How long before the fight do they actually test you?
24 hours.
So you can pack a lot of pounds on it in 24 hours.
Yep. After Justin Gaethje weighed in at 155, like 2 hours later,
170.
He was like 167, and he wasn't even done yet.
That was
only a couple hours after the fight. That's just by drinking water.
It's finally rehydrating.
From stopping dying.
Exactly.
You had Cowboy. The reason he was sick is because he ate a bunch of tacos.
Who was the guy on The Ultimate Fighter that had a seizure in the house because he did it wrong? Everybody knew he did it wrong.
I don't remember who that was. The main weight cut I remember is from season 4, Gabe Rudiger. He's the guy that they were like, he was like, just put me back in, man. Like, he was like, he just wasn't cutting the weight. He was eating like a slob the whole time.
Right, and
He was a big dude for 155. You know? It's not right. It's not right. It's a thing that's carried over from wrestling.
Yep.
Like, I've heard, like I said, Michael Bisping, who's from the UK, when he came over, they were like talking about the weight cut. He's like, oh, yeah, the weight cut. I eat a bunch of Chinese the night before. That's how I do it. What are you guys doing?
You know what they ought to do?
What?
They ought to test them the day they offer them the fight.
Well, what are you walking at?
What are you walking at? Yeah. Because let's say if you are the guy that trains 365 days a year, you're going to be walking at the weight cut weight.
Yes.
But if you're not, then you're going to be walking at a heavier weight. And if that's the let's be honest.
Patty Pimblett's about to be fighting a middleweight.
Exactly. So what would that do? That would cause those folks to walk around a little better.
Yeah.
That means much less weight cut. That means much less danger. Ultimately, So if they knew
gaming the system,
exactly. If they knew that that 90 days before their fight, they're going to be tested on what they weigh now, and they could only go up, let's say, 10 pounds.
10 pounds.
10 up or down, 10 pounds from where you're at. Anybody can do that within a few days, and not even getting rid of a bunch of bad. So anyway,
no, you could easily do that.
10 pounds from 90 days out.
Yeah, exactly.
That way, you would either maintain better. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to fight up.
And you can drink water a day before your fight.
Yep.
It sucks that you can't drink water for days. Some of them, not days, but, you know, like, some of them are literally like, they're just like a teaspoon of water. Like, that's what I can get in me. And they're spitting the whole time. That's one way to cut weight. You just keep, you suck on something and just spit and spit and spit and spit. There's been dudes who... because usually you get, like, when you weigh in, depending on how much you've weighed over, you get an hour to cut if it's just like a pound or two. There's been people come back with the buzz head, come back with the curtain so they can take the underpants, everything off, you know.
Yep.
And then there's other fighters who cut weight or just prefer to fight at their natural weight. Like, I'm pretty sure Colby Covington just fights at his natural. Like, he doesn't really have to cut much.
Gotcha.
And he'll step on the scale with like a burger and just be like, yeah, what up?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Matter of fact, some fight promotions stopped allowing to wear certain things because they felt like they were putting pounds on.
Yeah.
Hats being one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had put a weight in their hat.
A $10 roll of quarters up your asshole.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, well, you can get away with that no matter what.
We might have to start delving deep.
Exactly.
To get it. But that's the only reason I wanted to bring it up. First time in history. Pretty crazy. And I just want to say that he's on track, man. Wins one more fight. If he wins the next fight and gets the belt back, I'll call him the greatest lightweight of all time.
All right.
And hopefully enough people will to make Khabib come out of retirement and smash him.
That would be cool.
Smash. Yes.
Smash. S-M-E-S-H. Yes.
Yeah, that's smash how he says it. Smash. This is number one bullshit. I smash him. He's cool, man. Apart from that, though, not too much else. We never talked about Dave Chappelle, did we? Getting attacked on stage on the podcast. We didn't talk about that. Not sure if that's a, you know, residuals left over from what's his face.
I think Will Smith should have ended up in the same way this guy did by Busta Rhymes and what's his name, whoever it was.
Yeah, Will Smith backstage gets stomped out by M.O.P. and Busta Rhymes.
Do we have a motive? Do we know why?
He was like transgender. Something like that. No. He was unhappy with some of the jokes.
He was a Netflix employee.
Might have been a Netflix employee.
Hey, it's always the best way to express your opinion on a matter.
Yeah. And it shows you maybe how relaxed comedians have been for so long that, like, dude, the security was like, they were eating a sandwich, not even like on their checking Instagram.
But yeah.
Like, what? There's a guy on stage.
Stuff like, to do.
Yeah.
The guy took Chappelle to the ground, right?
Yeah. Chappelle almost avoided the takedown.
I was gonna say,
takedown to Vince a little
better
practice.
Yeah.
You know, he could.
Well, he wasn't expecting it either.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, right?
Chris Rock would have been flattened.
Yeah.
We just put it down.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle's a big guy.
Yeah,
he's like really pretty big. Like not just muscle wise.
Ever
like,
since
he got
Africa,
bigger. Yeah.
Stature.
But I think he's like 6 feet or 6'1" or something. Big dude.
Yeah.
You know,
tall
at least. He used to be tall and lanky. Now he's like proportional.
I don't even see Will Smith smacking Dave Chappelle, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because Chappelle seems a little more wiry, a little more, all right, smack back. You know,
I think that'd be like that slapping the Statue of Liberty or something. Yeah. I mean, Dave Chappelle is an institution in and of his own in this country. You know, Chris Rock, he's been in some funny movies. He's a funny enough guy, but not like Dave Chappelle. I don't know.
Right.
Dave Chappelle brings everybody together.
Chris Rock's a legend. I find him super funny. You know, he's definitely one of my favorite comics ever. But
I think Dave Chappelle is kept up with modern times better.
Yeah, of
maybe,
course. Yeah,
you know,
because it was a generational thing. Yep. I mean, Dave Chappelle was watching Chris Rock.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, although Dave Chappelle started comedy when he was like 14 or something. it's just interesting. You know, I don't think it has anything to do with the Will Smith thing. I don't think people watch that and were like, oh, now I'm empowered to just go and beat people up. Because people have been rushing comedy stages for a while, punching comedians and whatnot. But I just hope it doesn't turn into a bigger thing now, you know? And that's all I got to say on it, I guess.
That's it.
Dave
that's
Chappelle.
That.
That's that.
That's that on the Dave Chappelle.
Nobody else. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think Dave Chappelle, like you said, he's an institution.
Right.
Should you get away with that? No.
Right.
But at the same time, these guys now, they may learn some more jiu-jitsu.
Maybe. Maybe it'll just prompt them to train a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah.
guy rushes the stage and Dave Chappelle just gets on his back. Like, come on. Come at me, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Hollywood's taught. You can't be like a fat, ugly guy and be in comedy anymore, right? You have to be in shape and you have to be good looking.
Yeah. Good. Ryan Reynolds taught us that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris Pratt, great
Chris
protege.
Pratt, definitely. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand this whole thing. You'll be a funny man. You also have to be like ridiculously in shape. You know? Seth Rogen.
I saw, speaking of, I saw a article about people that have recently lost weight, a lot of weight, and it showed like heavy set actors or actresses, and then it showed their current, and Jonah Hill was one of them, I think.
Yeah. He's all like all tatted up and stuff.
Yeah,
now, right?
It's like he looks completely different. If you put let's say somebody woke up today and saw Jonah Hill as an actor, and then you paraded the Jonah Hill that was
across. High School Musical.
Whatever. They would. Was it High School Musical?
No.
Okay.
No.
Super bad.
There was some guy in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, him, right?
They wouldn't even know. They wouldn't know who he was. They couldn't tell the difference.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They couldn't tell that there was the same dude. There you
I
go.
Wonder if he's getting any flack from fat people about him losing weight. Like,
absolutely.
You know, getting, I'm sure there is. Just like Adele got, and then that one. I always thought she was really pretty even while she was super overweight. What was her name? Rebel Wilson? She's super pretty.
Yes.
And she lost a ton of weight.
So you saw the same thing I did then.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because Rebel Wilson was one of the other options. Rebel Wilson.
But, like personal betterment and empowerment's not really in vogue right now. So
I guess
it's just
not.
To live with whatever terrible life decisions you've made.
Yeah, the just empowerment is to be cool with being fat.
Yeah,
like, and just like accept a body positivity. You should look at me.
Yeah, your lifespan might be 20 years less than somebody who does something with their body, you know?
You got like Sports Illustrated doing the cover with just nothing but overweight girls, like super kind of weird.
I saw a commercial on Hulu last night, tie this into what we were talking about last week, but it was It was a woman on a surfboard that she, I mean, she must have been 350, 400 pounds, and it was all like, you know, just feel good about yourself. Sorry, ain't no 400-pound people surfing. That just doesn't happen. You will sink to the bottom like a stone.
Unless you're like 8 feet tall and muscle-bound. You shouldn't be 400 pounds.
No, no. Unless, unless you can hide it well. Yeah. All right? Yeah. I'm sorry. You are just, you look like a damn seal to a great white shark.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. That's
you're dead.
That's a buffet right there.
Yeah. I mean, you're either sinking to the bottom like a stone or you'd look like lunch to a great white shark.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and I just say that as a PSA to all 350 plus pound people. Like I said, unless you're 7-8 feet tall or something, you can put it on. Well, don't go surfboarding, okay? Don't watch this commercial and think that you're going to go do this next, all right? Because you're not, all right? Or it'll be the last time you do anything.
Yeah, shame would be nice.
I'm sorry. Keep your clothes on. Keep your T-shirt on at the beach.
Please. Little shame could save your life.
Gentlemen, I don't know a whole lot of 700-ish, 100-pound people. Or even 300 or 400 pound people. Not a whole lot of them.
Yeah, they ain't running around all over the place.
They ain't going out on a surfboard or any kind of boogie board.
Usually they're in their dingy home that I don't enter.
Eating Cheetos. So,
they can't get out the front door anymore.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
I love
take a
Cheetos.
Crane to, but I mean, it's like I always wanted to be a fighter pilot. I'm too tall to be a fighter pilot. I'll live with that. All right. And some people are just too fat to surfboard. Fine. All right. You know what? You can get in the KFC eating contest.
Yeah.
You know, and earn accolades.
You say that, but those are not at all the same thing. One is uncontrollable.
No,
the other is completely controllable. Well, even if you have an overactive thyroid, I'm sorry.
Everybody's got to eat, you know.
Surely you get it's the height is controllable, you know. Cut off, you know, maybe
the
cut
feet,
somewhere the shins
knees.
And just drop it down.
Oh, good
send,
point.
So
Cotton
those
Hill, he used
in.
To be tall, and the Japanese machine gun blew his shins off. He's now he's a short guy.
Magic legs.
And you're so not sensitive to the fat experience, Jalen. Do you know how hard it is?
Everybody
needs to eat, man.
You know what? I was once a fat guy a skinny guy in a fat guy's body, and I fucking killed that dude.
Yeah.
And I escaped, and now I'm a skinny. I'm a semi-fat dude.
When you were fat, you looked like Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
All right.
See, that's the thing. I think I'm a fat guy in a skinny guy's body. I'm not skinny by any means. It's just like, dude, one day it's gonna be like, a fat guy's just gonna rip out of me, and I'm gonna be like 300 pounds.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
it's gonna be like a raft, one of those like raft when
exactly.
you pull the cord on it.
I'm waiting for it, you know.
Yeah, let me know so I'm not in the room with you at that point.
Yeah, because I don't have the fat arms syndrome, I don't have the big fat leg syndrome, just like gut. So I'm waiting to I feel like the rest of it is all just like tight, and then one day it's just gonna, that's probably what's gonna happen to me. I don't know if science can back me up on that.
There you go,
Apart from that, though, man, that's about everything I had written down. New house, UFC, Dave Chappelle, camping.
Right.
Heat.
Oh, okay.
Those are all the things. So.
I was reading today that it was the anniversary of the last guy to surrender in World War II, the last enemy soldier.
Japanese or what?
Japanese in like 1974, like damn near three decades after the war ended. Mm-hmm. And it's a guy I guess I've never read anything about. I'm really familiar, however, with the guy, I guess, who surrendered like just a year before him or whatever. This guy Hiro Onoda, who was he was like in his 70s when he finally surrendered, and he'd been fighting in the Philippines. Like when they found him, his rifle was still well oiled, looked like it had just come off the factory. They actually had to. He did not believe that Japan had surrendered because his like whole military training was just like, Japan will never surrender, never surrender. We'll fight until there ain't not a single Japanese baby left to fight the Americans. So they actually had to find some of the propaganda he got fed was that Americans eat Japanese.
Yeah.
Like nobody else, just Japanese. You know, we like that Japanese sushi, I guess. So he was like, I don't want to be eaten, so I'm just going to keep fighting. And they actually had to find, like, dig up his, like, commanding officer, who was, like, 90 years old at the time, and fly him to the Filipino jungle and in a loudspeaker convince him, like, hey, man, the war's over. They ain't eating us anymore. You know, it's totally fine to come out.
That's funny.
He did, but...
His rifle. Remember that? That dude's rifle was, like, meticulously clean. It was, like, in pristine condition and
I
stuff.
I think I just said that, didn't I?
You did?
Yeah. Like it rolled out of the factory. Like it was like brand new. Even though he had shot a bunch of people with it, you know?
Sorry, man. Hey, you talk and it's just...
It's, yeah.
It's usually me. So yeah, I'm just
sitting here like, I need to talk about the thing that I found most interesting about it. Screw whatever he's saying.
He had still like a few Japanese grenades on him and stuff, you know? Dang. He was like, he was you know, keeping it real out there. Mm. And he still had the dagger that his mother supposedly, allegedly gave him, which said that, you know, either you come back with this dagger... with the blood of Americans on it, or with your own blood, you're dead. You're dead at that point. So, what a just a different mentality. I don't know if I could ever find myself. I don't know if any American soldier during World War II would have ever found themselves in that position.
Instead of don't come back unless Americans' blood or your blood is on the knife, it's more like here's an iPad. Don't come back and bother your father and I.
Yeah, yeah. Things are different now.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I think being in the Pacific in the World War II would have been the worst of all. Like, I really think it would have been the worst.
Totally
like
different culture you're fighting against.
Yeah. If I, like, got transported back to that time and stuff and you were, like, drafted or whatever and you were going through and it'd be like, all right, yeah, you go to Germany. You're here. You're going to Pacific. I'm like,
can I go to Germany?
Yeah. Just go to Germany, please. Yeah. I'll trade with you. It's, like, the beautiful islands out there.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Can I fight with other, like, lazy white people that don't really care about what they're doing, you know?
And I love the way Germans talk to me. Scream at me a little bit.
Yeah. They do that.
They do that.
All right, y'all. Well, I think that's going to wrap everything up. Big shout out to Laura Lindley, attorney at law, not only for sponsoring this podcast, but sponsoring and hosting an excellent party, Fight Night. That was a lot of fun. Hochatown Distilling Company, Mountain Fork Brewery, The Speakeasy. What's the bartender's name over there?
Janelle.
Shout out to Janelle. Shout out to Ray.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shiloh Brock Martin.
Yeah.
Shout out to KDQN. Shout out to pretty much everything involved with this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, big ups to all of them.
Big ups.
And we thank you for your continuing support. Shout out to all the listeners as well.
Hey.
You want to write us a question, regrettablejtp@gmail.com, or like us on Facebook.
If you listen every single day and don't like us on your favorite social media, what are you even
doing? What are you even doing? Well, you got to wait for me to invite you.
I know.
So you can ignore it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for episode 69. We thought we'd take one off. The next one will be good, I promise. Okay. All right. And that's going to do it. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.